15th miracle here. We're just going down the line. And
well,
I hope
you don't lose track of those numbers. You'd lose your tradition.
Verse 32, verse 32 of chapter 7, Darren. And they brought to him one who was deaf and spoke with difficulty, and they entreated him to lay his hand upon him. Now, the people around says, oh, Jesus, we know you can do it. Come on, do it. And he took the man aside from the multitude by himself and put his... Now, Jesus took him again from the multitude. Why did he do that? Because there's unbelief, doubt, and fear in that multitude. He took the man aside, and you'll read this as you read the Gospels. Many times Jesus took the people aside. And he took him aside, put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, Jesus spit on his fingers, touched the man's tongue with his saliva. Now, some people would say, how gross. I mean, this person, this... Although he was mighty, mighty in power, he was still the Son of Man, a human being in one part. He spit on his fingers and touched the tongue of the man with his saliva.
Now, I believe there was power because of Jesus, even in the saliva. But I think what he was giving here also is an object lesson. He was saying, all right, this guy needs to see and feel and experience something in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, God's had us do that. You know, why? I think of one woman one time on the phone, a speech impediment. And I said, well, go get a glass of water. And she had ulcers in her throat. And I gave her something to do. And she brought the water back and prayed for it over the phone. I said, now take a sip of that water. Instantly, she was healed. And I believe sometimes God asks us to do things that gets our body involved as well as our spirits and our minds so we can receive his power.
Yes, that's right. We're going to find out in the 8th chapter, too, he does the same thing with a man at Bethsaida. Takes him out of the village, and he does pretty much the same thing. But here, looking up to heaven with a deep sigh, Jesus said to the man, Ephphatha, be opened. That is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was removed. The impediment was removed, Darren. That means there was something, that an obstacle there. So the impediment was removed, and he began speaking plainly. Oh,
see, now,
hallelujah.
To me, there was a spirit that was motivating something in the natural.
Yes.
There's like something holding his tongue down so he couldn't talk right.
Yes, and it was loosed.
Right. We say he's tongue-tied, you know, whatever.
Yes.
But, and, you know, if your tongue just has to lay there, like, for example, if you go to the dentist, it gives you a shot in the jaw, you know, and your tongue is numb and the muscles don't work, you talk funny. You come out of there, that tongue just lays in the bottom of your mouth. I think that might have been something like what was going on here.
I do too. Mm. Wow.
You know, you have to wait till that Novocaine wears off and gradually your speech improves and you don't talk funny. And your friends don't make fun of you anymore.
Well, in Mark 8, 5 through 9, we find that again, 4,000 are fed. Now, previously 5,000 were fed. Now 4,000. Jesus does basically the same thing. He takes a little that he has. He gives thanks. And he tells his disciples then later on to watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. This is really important, Darren, because apostles were thinking in the physical, and Jesus was telling them to beware of the spiritual demise of the Pharisees, the spiritual false teaching of the Pharisees and the traditions of men.
Now, see what this says to me, and I've watched bread being prepared a lot of times, and I don't know if you put in soda or baking powder, you put in something in there that makes it rise.
Yeast.
Right? Yeast. Okay. See, I've never baked bread. I've watched it, and I've eaten a lot of it.
You've got to have yeast to
rise. I have yeast, okay. But I believe that the leaven of the Pharisees is exactly the opposite. It's going to make that bread so it's not going to rise. Mm. It's going to destroy the recipe.
Good.
And in the spirit, it does the same thing. It kills good ideas and enthusiasm, and it nullifies people's faith. Mm-hmm. Well, why would you go over there to try to get healed? You know you can't get healed. That's an example of the leaven of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're pouring cold water on the parade, and they're stopping people. In fact, Jesus even spoke to the Pharisees at one point and said, you're prohibiting people from entering the kingdom of God.
Oh, yes.
You're stopping them from getting close to the answer. And folks, today, maybe you've been one of those Pharisees and you didn't even know it. You kept people from receiving God's very best. You ought to stop right now and repent and ask God to forgive you and give you another opportunity. I mean, we've got to take this stuff for serious because it's real.
Oh,
It is real stuff. What's the next miracle?
Well, the last one probably that we can get to on this hour is number 17, and that's found in Mark 8:22-26. And I found this really interesting also. This is a blind man. Now, the one in the previous chapter, he was deaf and he spoke with difficulty. But this man here, Jesus, is in Bethsaida. They bring a blind man to him and entreat Jesus to touch him. Now, the people are enthusiastic again. Oh, Jesus, you can heal this man. They're entreating him to do something for him. And verse 23, taking the blind man by the hand, he brings him out from the crowd. He brings him out of the village. And Darren, right here in two chapters, we see Jesus. He's smarter than all of us. And sometimes we love the crowds, but the crowds bring with it doubt, fear, and unbelief. And Jesus, in these two instances, brings these men. And I see that these miracles must have taken more power, because Jesus at one point sighs. He gives a sigh. And so I see some miracles as not needing as much, maybe, how should I say this, as much power as other miracles. Like a common cold, I don't believe, needs the faith that cancer needs. And I see here that Jesus is taking these men out because these are pretty big miracles. Blindness, deafness, speech, they're pretty big.
But let me approach something you just said there. See, I think if we look at it from the human side, we say, oh, this cancer is tremendous. It's going to take... All right, now, but if we get over on Jesus' side, and I say, how does Jesus look at cancer? How does he look at a cold? It's no harder for him to heal cancer than it is for him to heal a cold, because he has all the authority, all the ability, all the power. And see, we need to stop being so human and move from the area of impossibility over to possibility.
Well, I'm glad in this next hour we're going to talk about that, moving into possibility. And so many of you have been living in the impossible.
Right.
And it's going to be important. But, Darren, I believe that Jesus also knew limitations here, because if he would have stayed with the crowd, I don't know if he would have healed him, because even in his own town of Nazareth, he could do very little healings.
See, it doesn't say this. I don't ever remember a story saying this, but can you imagine with all the people clamoring, which usually involves a lot of noise and a lot of shouting, and, you know, and one guy yelling over the crowd, saying, I got a better vantage point. You ought to be over here with me.
Yes.
I'm closer to Jesus, and I'll save a place for you. And you know how people are in a crowd.
That's
you
right.
You know, and probably... You talk about crowd control, there probably wasn't any. And Jesus might have said to the man, listen, we're going over there and stand under that tree, and to his disciples, keep people away while I go over here. This guy can't even hear what I'm saying.
Well, and that's probably true. And after he spit, now Jesus actually spit on his eyes. He spit on his eyes, and laying his hands upon him, he said, do you see anything? Now this man looked up, and he said, I see men... as trees walking about. His eyes still had not completely healed. He was seeing with a fuzziness in his eyes. He was seeing men as fuzzy.
So he was getting his healing in stages.
He was. And then Jesus said, then he again laid his hands upon his eyes, and he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, do not enter the village. Why is that, Darren?
Stay away from unbelief.
Yes.
Because people are going to jump up and say, how come you know, yesterday you were blind, today you can see what happened. And many people are going to attack that and try to destroy it. That just seems to be human nature. And, of course, the devil's behind that program. He wants to destroy that. Well, we've enjoyed bringing this first hour, this wonderful teaching, and we're praying and covering this teaching with the blood of Jesus. And I declare it can't be stolen, destroyed, or distorted. See you on the next message.